Ryan, you astound me at the fact that you can keep up with the news cycle to begin with. I don't know how you have the ability to do that. What keeps you from just kind of ending it all when you look at the news?
Well, I started this podcast, so now I have to follow the news religiously in order to make my podcast. So now I just have to stay on Twitter until I go to sleep every night and then just wake up in the morning and catch up on everything that happened while I was asleep.
This is so much harder than how we do our podcast.
God, sounds like a nightmare. Yeah.
isn't it just nice to come on here and be like, you want to talk about amphibians today?
It's like, yeah, I mean, more or less, we're already just like yammering on. Like, I don't know about you, Bird, but I'm basically talking to myself anyway in my office here. And so yeah. At some point, at a predetermined time, I just flip on the microphone. I don't even know. I'm not even aware that you're on.
And it gets going.
Yep.
What do you like about doing the podcast the most, because it can't be the subject matter?
You know, honestly, it's not that bad. Like, I do genuinely enjoy doing like the weekly roundup ones, because when I first started doing my podcast, I was only doing one a week.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like constantly this like kind of push-pull of like, okay, what do I want to do this week? Like, do I want to do something more evergreen where I talk about like a specific piece or something like that, or do I want to talk about the news? And so, like, at some point, the news cycle became as such that it's like, you can't really leave it alone for too long without commenting on it. Otherwise, everything just becomes irrelevant. So It was one of those where it's like, okay, well, I guess we're just going to have to go to two a week. And so that's where I'm at for now. I don't see being able to fit a third. I would like to, but I just don't.
You will in 2020.
Like, logistically speaking, I don't see it happening.
You will in 2020. You'll be able to fit four or five probably in.
I mean, at this point, you could probably do like two a day and you'd be fine. But yeah.
You could. Are you ready for the deluge of news that comes in 2020 and the rioting and the violence and the nonsense? Are you ready for this?
I wasn't ready for this election cycle to start in January, which is really when it started. I'm like, I'm not ready.
Can't believe we're already there again. It's just,
are
like,
we really?
It's like the NFL, right? I mean, and I like the NFL and I like football, but it's just this constant, just first, okay, we're going to do Monday Night Football now. Okay, now we're going to do Thursday Night Football. Okay, now we're going to put the combine like 4 months after the season to keep your attention. Now we're doing the NFL draft, you know, and like, It's just expanding and expanding, expanding. You don't even get a year, because the year after the election, everybody's freaking out about the election, so that's not an off year. And then two years after the election, you're already running up to the...
And in the middle of that, you have midterms.
Right. Right.
Fucking midterms. It never fucking stops.
It's the greatest sport of them all, baby. You can always find something to be upset about.
Yeah, if you cover politics, you will never lack for content.
Never. You will, and especially not in this presidency. I mean, he is a gem. He is a gemstone of news.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Sometimes he even surprises you, like the whole CPAC thing that happened this weekend. Like, I'm sure CPAC organizers knew he was coming, but he wasn't on the schedule. He just showed up and talked for like 2 hours.
I think we gotta air this episode first, because I want to get into the CPAC thing. It won't be relevant by next week.
Part. We gotta tell Mark though, because he's already.
Yeah, Mark is ready to be like, oh, my episode's coming up. Sorry, Mark. Tiny Nazis can it'll happen whenever you want, Mark.
Yeah. Tiny Nazis are evergreen.
They're evergreen. You know. And what's funny is,
it's true next week as it is this week.
Nobody listening this week has any idea what tiny Nazis mean, but I think you should buckle your pants up for next week.
Yeah. I mean, just tiny Nazis. I mean, you could just stop right there.
Yeah, that's it.
And oddly, you know what, Jen? We didn't stop there.
We should have stopped there.
We should have. We didn't. What is the CPAC thing? What is this? I don't know what CPAC even is.
Okay, so what CPAC is it's the Conservative Political Action Conference. They have it once a year, like the same time, like early March-ish every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, I mean, it did used to be a somewhat respectable conference. I mean, it is still the conservative conference of note that happens every year in this country.
What do they do? But, what do they get down there? Is it like a Bilderberg thing?
That's the thing. It's kind of devolved into this weird shit show. And now we have like basically this year they had Michelle Malkin there. They had Seb Gorka. I think they had Diamond and Silk talk.
Who, like, what are those names?
A bunch of grifters are basically invited to speak to a bunch of people who want to listen to grifters.
What is that, to deal with that in the just conservatism in general is, like, full of grifters right now?
I don't know. And I was actually talking about it with my husband the other night. And I was like, you know what? There's really nothing analogous on the left.
No, like, there isn't. People, it seems like people on the left, I don't know. I guess if you're a grifter on the left, you get outed pretty quickly, right?
Well, I mean, the thing, the closest I can figure is maybe like the Chapo guys and stuff like that, but...
Are they grifters?
Well, but I mean...
See, that's the thing. They're not really. I think they do believe...
They really believe it.
I
think that's the thing on the left is that they buy their own bullshit.
Yeah, and I don't know if the people on the right really do or not, but, like, you know, the Charlie Kirks and the Candace Owens of the world figured out that, like, if I say these things, I will get dollars given to me from various people.
Mm.
Like, I can have a Patreon. Like, Candace Owens actually works for Turning Point USA now, and obviously Charlie Kirk runs it, and they get all this money. So you can get paid for being this certain way in public. So then a bunch of other people figured out, like, hey, that seems like an easy way to make money. Yeah, I can do that too.
Isn't that what Candace Owens did? Like, isn't that how Candace Owens became popular?
Yeah, there was. I've got my own questions about her, but yeah, she kind of started out. Well, I don't know. I think probably the best way to kind of describe how Candace Owens started out is not last year, but the year before that. Dave Rubin did an interview with himself, Blair White, and Candace Owens.
Oh, right. Oh, my
that,
God.
Oh, my God. It's, first of all, it's hilarious to watch. It's just...
It is.
Ruben completely loses control of the whole situation, but basically, it just... Basically, Blair dragging her for... Where Candace started out was she was on the left, and she was creating this site that was supposed to be called Social Autopsy, where basically, I guess you would be... I'm not sure what she was trying to do with this site, but I guess, like, out people who tweeted the wrong things and stuff like that. And then I guess some things happened. A lot of this kind of coincided with Gamergate, as far as I can figure. Oh, I kind of missed the whole Gamergate thing.
I am so glad I missed the Gamergate thing.
But then, like, people were mean to her and told her to not do this and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, she's on the right and making YouTube videos. And then she became hugely popular.
She is a massive grifter. I don't know. It does. It seems like half the people who get up on that CPAC stage, from what I would imagine, half of them have to be grifters. I can't even... Who else would go? I mean, who is Michelle Malkin? Who is that?
She's, well, you would have to have been in this game for a while, but, like, way back in the day, before our current batch of grifters, she kind of came up, like, around the same time Ann Coulter did.
Oh,
so
the queen!
So we're talking, like about, early, like, 2000s. You know, yeah, like about, God, almost 20 years back now.
The queen of grifters. Although she's not really a grifter anymore, is what's funny. She switched.
That's interesting, like, the idea, like what's the process of going from grifter to non-grifter, like, that transitional phase,
I guess,
and going from non-grifter to grifter?
You say, like, all these things for so long that you start to become attached to them?
Yeah.
Or I guess you just become legitimate at some point.
Yeah,
I
right.
I guess you write enough books and you're on TV enough. I don't know. It's really weird.
Who else? Like, Mark Stein? Like, who else? What other conservative grip? Conservatives, I gotta be honest with you guys. You guys get played a lot.
Yeah.
a lot. By these fucking people that couldn't give a shit about you.
It's so funny, especially when I look at, like, Turning Point USA and everything. It's supposed to be for, like, the young conservatives. Like, all your fans are boomers.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's your crowd is boomers.
There's not a single young person in this country who has looked at something Charlie Kirk has said and has been like, oh, good job, Charlie. Thank you. I needed that.
God. That
what
guy.
Dork.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of 60-year-olds like, yeah, look at this young buck.
Yeah, this young buck. Charlie Kirk is like 35.
The funny thing is that you could probably dice up, like, enough of his speeches to come up with a pretty decent libertarian clip show, but, like, the in between stuff is guy, so brutal.
That guy is so a chode. Brutal. That guy's a total chode.
Yeah, he really is.
Jesus Christ. All right, so okay. So we've worked out who is the content of CPAC. Now what do they do there? Like what's the controversy here? Well, actually, first, what do they do at CPAC? Do they just center the message?
Well, they usually have a straw poll there that is somewhat significant in picking the next Republican presidential candidate, kind of, sort of, not really, but obviously there was a straw poll this year. I don't even know who won.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. But there was a time where, like, basically it was a conference where you invited speakers, and it used to be a lot more kind of ideologically broad as far as within, like, the conservative movement. There used to be a lot more, like, libertarians invited to speak and
sure.
kind of along those lines. But now it's kind of become this kind of celebration of Trumpism.
Yeah,
at least that's
yeah.
kind of how it manifested this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, it's a political conference. It's not, I mean, you go there, you watch people speak, you network, you talk to people, you hang out, whatever. There's not really anything that, like, is substantive that happens there. It's not like
it's gonna be like the LP convention, I guess.
Except at the LP convention, sometimes nominees are picked.
Sometimes you get to see nudes at the
whatever, you know.
So okay,
but, yeah.
So all right.
Go ahead.
So okay, I'm just trying to get this. So it's a convention, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And they sort of, I guess, they center the message and they do that straw poll that you say. So what could come? What could the controversy possibly be?
This particular year, or just in general?
Well, you know what? I remember what it used to be.
I was gonna say I like both of those questions. So
yeah,
in general, and then we'll go specifically what happened.
Well, what it used to kind of be was the fact that it was more ideologically diverse, and you did have kind of more centrist thoughts, more libertarian thought. It was a much more broad audience, and that's what the point was to try to bring in as many people that could possibly be under the banner of the quote-unquote conservative movement, even though libertarians aren't conservatives. But anyway, this particular year, it kind of cemented the idea that conservatism, for whatever definition you want to give that now, I don't even know what that word means anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's now just Trumpism, because this was basically just a whole celebration of Trump and Trump ideals and people that are pro-Trump.
A Trump hump.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, a Trump
yeah.
That.
Coined terms.
There you Coin go. It. So a Trump pump is what happened. So I guess the neocons are very displeased with this.
Yeah, the Never Trump crowd is not exactly pleased with CPAC this year, shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happened was, are you guys familiar with the Bulwark?
No.
It's an online media outlet started by Bill Kristol and Charlie Sykes.
Oh, my sweet God.
Christ.
That
basically
sounds like
meant to replace the Weekly Standard that got shut down by their publisher, and that was
I forgot that shit got shut down. That's so funny.
Yeah,
that's
so that
is that Kristol?
Down.
That's Kristol is that that company?
What, Bill Kristol?
Yeah, that company. What was the name of the company that got shut down? You just said
Standard?
Weekly Standard.
That was his?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Weekly Standard was
like
his.
Infamously, yeah.
So now he's found a new place to, like, roost.
Yeah.
Peddle his fucking stupid wares.
That guy is such a chode, too.
he's like the worst. He's I fucking hate that guy. Like, he's so smug and so and just never correct about anything,
such
obviously.
What a chode. Okay, so what did the chode do?
Okay.
Certified chode.
So anyway, him and Charlie Sykes opened up Bulwark, which is basically meant as kind of a replacement for Weekly Standard. At least that was always my interpretation of it.
Sure.
But we're going to make a replacement.
You took away my magazine, so I'm going to make a new platform.
We're going to make a new place to chug dong.
Why is that so funny?
I'm going to explain this.
We're children. Okay. So, sorry for my, my co-host across the aisles behavior.
Okay. So they launched this site. It's not, maybe it's about 6 months old. It's not a year yet because it's not been a year since the Weekly Standard has been shut down. Hmm. But anyway, their tagline is conserving conservatism.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, that's great. Their little tagline slug.
Oh my God. Whatever. This is just the Blaze website. It's
they just copy-paste.
It's the same website. Holy shit. No. Dude, this is the same exact design. This is the same design as the Blaze website.
Do you think Glenn Beck's like, no, get away, you can't chug dong over here.
No, this is where we chug dong.
This is our dong chugging zone.
That's another dong chugger, Jesus.
Yeah, that guy chugs dong.
That's all right, so basically CPAC was all about dong chugging. Okay, so they did this. I'm so sorry, Jen. They did the website. Okay, Bulwark.
Okay.
Which
just sounds like what you say when you're chugging dong. Like,
Bulwark. Oh, dong chuggers. All right, so this stupid creation. What are we doing with this stupid website? What is this?
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, that's the website. That's the tagline.
Uh-huh.
They send as one of their official correspondents to CPAC. They send Molly Zhang Fast, she's a journalist, but she is a liberal.
Mm.
So, and she works for them. I don't know if she's technically on the payroll or freelancing, whatever, it doesn't matter. So they send her as one of the official correspondents. And so she's at this pro-life panel thing, I guess they're having at CPAC. Mm. And she's tweeting out things, making fun of the pro-life panel.
Hmm.
And so a whole bunch of people got all bent out of shape and pissed off about this because you're there representing Bulwark, who is conserving conservatism.
Sure.
And you're making fun of this pro-life panel.
Oh, I think I saw that. Where she chained together like 400 tweets?
Yeah, like I didn't
I think I saw that as it was happening. I was like, geez, I didn't read I read like three of them. And I was like, that's way too much.
Was it funny? Why would she string 400 tweets together?
She was just sitting there live tweeting it. So she would respond to the previous tweet and respond to the previous tweet. And now like, I don't know, like occasionally people were retweeting it. So it was like, you know, skimming across my timeline. And what kind of
things was she making fun of? I don't know.
Like whenever they're talking, I have no idea. Just built calling out conservatives for probably what we would call them out for, and then probably also miss calling them out on other shit.
Okay. So they're calling out them, not specifically the pro-life stance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is probably where Jen can take it more accurately than me. I just saw it was a glancing blow for me.
You were busy chugging dong. You turned around.
I had a lot of work to do that day. Wink.
So she's tweeting out this stuff, and certain people were getting pissed off at her about it. And so it turned into this big, big, dumb, stupid kind of Twitter feud thing between her and Bulwark, and just Crystal and Sykes finally kind of weighed in on it. And so the whole idea was that people were attacking Crystal and Sykes because, okay, you have this site where you're conserving conservatism, yet you're sending this pro-choice liberal to go cover CPAC, which, to back it up a little bit, both Crystal and Sykes are never Trumpers.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, I've always taken Bulwark as to be the replacement for Weekly Standard, which was a never Trump publication.
Yeah.
So the idea was to me, and they've pretty much said so, not in so many words, but sending her to be an official CPAC correspondent was basically giving CPAC the middle finger. Basically saying that we care so little about what is happening here that we are going to send a liberal to cover it because we don't give a fuck about you guys and we think you suck.
And we're basically going to
troll you.
It is, right? A chode-ish
that is
move.
A chode tactical.
A decision. Chode play.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't disagree, but they're basically trying to troll CPAC because they're never Trumpers. And so now you have this faction of pro-Trump people. You have the never Trumpers who basically exist to troll the pro-Trumpers.
Mm.
And now you have this kind of third group over here who are not pro-Trump. They're not never Trump. but they're still identifying as conservative. And those were the people that kind of got pissed off about it, and probably some of the pro-Trump people too, but whatever. So it turned into this days-long Twitter beef between people, and then various people in the Twitter sphere in the conservative movement started attacking other people, and it just turned into this big, huge blow-up thing. But the interesting thing that kind of came out of it is that it did reveal this kind of really weird schism within the conservative movement right now, where you've got basically the pro-Trump people who exist to own the libs. You got the never-Trumpers who exist to own the pro-Trumpers. And then you've got this third group where I'm just like, to my mind, they're kind of politically homeless right now, and I'm really wondering what's going to happen with them.
Yeah.
But it's just this really weird, weird dynamic going on. And I guess people who do still identify as Republican, I guess.
Who's attacking who, as in pro and never Trumpers? So, like, what are Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens supposed to be? Are they pro Trumpers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've pretty much completely bought in on this. And then, of course,
did people attack them? Can we do that if nobody else did?
I don't know if anybody attacked them specifically. Like, I didn't see either one of them say anything in particular about this particular Twitter fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were people that just like attacking each other and attacking other people. And then, of course, there were thought pieces written because this is the world we live in now.
Yeah.
And everybody's people make money for this.
Yeah.
Jesus.
What do you get out of it as an outside observer? Because I wasn't paying attention, so I don't have an opinion of my own. But what do you have? Like, what do you see? Is this schism going to carry into 2020? Is it gonna lose Trump his re-election? Like, what's the deal? Does this signal anything to you?
As of right now, no. Because I don't think Trump is going to lose next year.
Hmm.
I mean, that's my prediction. I think he will serve all 8 years. Unfortunately, we are stuck with the Cheeto Man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the Don Chugger. The Don Chugger.
Is it the Don Chugger?
Don Chugger.
That's like his name, like on all like PlayStation sports. Don Chugger.
It's XX Don Chugger XX.
Don G Chugger.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know. The Chug, I believe in the Chug. I think he's probably going to go for another term, too.
Yeah, he's going to keep chugging.
Plus, I mean, and we can talk about this if you want to, but the people that Democrats are starting to run, I'm just like, oh my God.
It's a disaster.
What is the deal there?
It's like, as bad as the right side is, like looking across the political landscape, you look to the left and it's like a fucking Chernobyl.
Where are the left
going on over here?
I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but I mean, our last episode kind of gets into it a little bit, but where are like the intellectuals right now? Are they? Because what scares the shit out of me, what scares the shit out of, we talked about this on Mark's episode. So again, here's more callbacks for next week. The intellectuals all seem to be on Ocasio-Cortez's side, which scares the shit out of me.
Well, which also makes you wonder how intellectual they really are.
I guess, but like, there's no intellectuals on the Elizabeth Warren team.
Yeah, that's true.
None. They don't have any idea what they're gonna do. Who do you settle on with the Democrats? Like, who are they gonna go, okay, this is actually our best chance? They can't possibly be Joe Biden. It's gonna be creepy Joe Biden, videos of him kissing those children. It can't possibly be him, right?
I don't know. At this point, I'm going with Bernie.
Oh, Bernie.
I don't Bernie, know.
Huh? Really?
Well, I look at this the same way I look at what the Republicans did in the 2015-2016 field.
Mm.
You had way, way too many people running at one time. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is you get the craziest motherfucker in the room theory, where the person who's the loudest, the brashest, the one that makes the most noise is the one that gets the most attention, which is how Trump ended up being the nominee. He just trumped all over the place and did all of the Trump things.
You couldn't not cover him. Yeah,
like he just sucked all the air out of the room. And I can see Bernie just completely sucking all the air out of the room this year.
How can I take their air? How can I get more of their air?
There's too much air.
I need their oxygen.
There are too many kinds of air. We need to do something about the air.
This, but who's doing anything about the air?
There's people with bigger lungs than other people. We need to even this air.
We could reduce the size of the lungs with
he comes around, he's taking people's lungs out of their chest. I welcome a Bernie presidency at this point. Honestly, I do. At this point.
Who cares? Who gives a shit?
It's gonna
Bernie
be
2020,
fun.
Who gives a shit?
You know what would be really horrendous? Here's one thing I gotta say, and I do wholeheartedly believe this. You know what would happen under Bernie Sanders? Hopefully no new countries start getting bombed under Bernie Sanders. Hopefully. That's the only positive I can see. But it would be better than Kamala Harris. Oh, that would be amazing, right?
Well, we could restart. That's probably true.
We could ramp up the drug war again. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, everybody is running on Bernie's old platform.
Yeah.
And now Bernie is here. So yes. What are you going to do to differentiate yourself from the OG who kind of invented this platform in the first place? Like, the whole party shifted to his platform, and now he's here.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that the DNC, because there's got to be bad blood between he and the DNC at this point, because they, I mean, it's known. I mean, it's an open secret, if not just like an open known public knowledge that they completely screwed him out of the last nomination. So how does that play?
That is interesting. Like, and I do agree with it. And that's why I was kind of thinking that he wouldn't run this year, basically as like a fuck you to the DNC. Like, you know what? Screw you. You screwed me over. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Mm. Right.
But here he comes. Yeah. Here comes Bernie.
He's running like that little gif of him running through the elevators.
Dude, or the video of him playing basketball. Holy fuck. Yes,
it's so uncomfortable.
What does he do? He's like, I'm going to hit a triple. Like he says.
He's like, I'm going to dunk it.
I'm going to dunk it.
Nobody can block me.
Oh, man. You got to admit, they at least got a PR thing going, right?
Dude, a Trump versus Bernie runoff would be the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, can you imagine the amount of GIFs and memes that are going to come out of that? It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be great.
Dude, if that's where this whole thing ends up after everything, after all of the intersectional struggle sessions that we've had, we end up in 2020 with two rich old white men from New York yelling at each other on stage in a presidential debate.
I love
that. That would be awesome.
It'd be amazing.
That's where this needs to end.
At the intersection of white, male, dumbass. Three very protected groups in this.
Like, society. You thought you made progress? Oh, here's two rich old white men from New York yelling at each other.
Here we go.
Those are your presidential candidates.
I would be. Yeah. I don't know. I would love it.
I'm talking myself into it. Actually.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I would. I'm okay with either of them winning at this point because it's got to happen, right?
Bernie 2020. Who gives a shit?
Bernie, dude, that's a good platform we could run on.
Neon bro tank I'm gonna make. And I ran a poll last week on what bro tank I should make. Legalize blank.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody voted for something different than what I wanted, which was bath salts. And I'm just going to continue with bath salts because
what were the other options though?
Cocaine, recreational nukes, and meth.
Okay. Gotta tell you,
with bath salts.
I think bath salts is the best one. To be honest,
I felt that way strongly, and I got very much outvoted. But as you know, I don't run a democracy over here.
The bath salts. Get me the bath salts.
Get the bath salts, and then I'll just make another one for
bath salts.
It'll pair nicely with the Bernie 2020. Who gives a shit?
How great would it be?
Also legalize bath salts.
How great would it be if all the candidates start doing Twitch streams and stuff to connect with the kids?
Oh my God, no. Bernie needs to do them.
It's Bernie playing Mario Party with his grandchildren.
Dude, could you imagine Bernie doing like an Instagram live?
No.
Like AOC just like sitting in his house just talking about like what the hell ever.
That creeped me out. Did you see the latest video she did where she was cooking at home? She ate a raw sweet potato. It was like,
yeah, what? Like what the hell's wrong with you? Like
what is going on? What are
Don't
you?
Do that. That's bizarre.
You have to cook that. It's gonna be too hard.
Alexandria, no.
If you hurt your teeth, I'm gonna have to give you one of mine.
What were you thinking?
But just imagine Bernie doing those. Like, what would he talk about?
I think it would just be more of the same Bernie. I think that's what's so boring about the idea. It's Elizabeth Warren going on cracking beers like anyone believes that. It's just, it's so not genuine.
How do you do, fellow youths?
I know.
I'm drinking a beer on the internet.
She's never had a beer before in her entire life.
Husband, would you like a beer too?
No, husband.
That's okay. I still love you.
Jesus, that is... It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Yeah. So, I mean, from CPAC to, I guess, DPAC, I don't really know what they have. But,
DPAC.
What is the... So we got the...
Are you
the,
Bowery right, back on Bulwark?
Bulwark. The right is crumbling, as you say. So, is the Democratic Party... How could you think Trump's going to win if the Democratic Party... I mean, they don't have it together, right? But they're not like... Are they a circus quite yet? Because the conservatives are a circus right now, right? I think they fully circusized. An odd word.
They're circusized.
They're circusized. Are the Democrats a circus to you yet when you watch them? Do you think circus? What do you think?
They're circus adjacent. They're getting there, and it's not necessarily anything that you would see if you were just looking at it from the surface, but especially if you spend a lot of time on Twitter, there's definitely... There's definitely a gap. And even if you want to talk about Bernie, like when he first announced, I think within the first 24 hours, he raised $6 million.
That's nuts.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's huge.
Why do they need my money? I don't understand. Why do they take my money?
But then on the other side, and this you actually hear more from like the DSA folk, basically telling Bernie, go sit down, old white man. We don't need you here anymore.
They are so funny, aren't they? They get exactly what they want, and then when they get it, it's not enough. It's very funny how that works. You're right.
Like, go sit down. We're going to support the women's or the people of color or whoever the hell ever. And I'm just like, this dude was your savior like 3 years ago. Like, he was a demigod to you guys. And now you're like, you're garbage. You're trash. Shut up, Bernie. Go sit down. Nobody wants you here.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't understand it. You think... I agree with you. I think Bernie's the best shot. I do. I don't understand why
even better than Biden or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, I think they try and run Biden, and those videos of him doing that thing with children is coming out, and that's it. I don't think they'll do it.
Oh, just like the compilation of like weird creeps. Uh-huh. Like, are you talking about anything more sinister than what we've seen?
No,
or
that's
like,
that's pretty sinister. But remember, here's the thing. They have to take Republicans and get them to vote as Democrats. And Republicans see in that video, they're going to go, I'm not voting for this person. I'm not going to vote for this.
Wait, which video are you talking about?
Like,
I don't know if I've seen a video. I've just seen, you know, I just know it as like an online trope.
It's a compilation of videos. Yeah, it's a compilation of very
uncomfortable
videos.
Of him just like kind of being weird around kids?
A little more than weird, I would say, but yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Ultimately.
I mean, is it like, and I'm not trying, like, obviously, like, I think a lot of politicians are involved in that kind of shit, and it grosses me the hell out, but, like, is any one of them, like, I could use this in court, or is it just like, okay, this is probably happening, but I can't really do anything?
I think it's just more of the 2016 idea, right, of just digging up as much shit as possible, right?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
and
there
Trump,
are some like weird, questionable pictures of him kind of being a little too handsy with young women. It's like, dude.
And young boys. Dude, I mean,
he's
saw that.
He's chugging all kinds of places. Jesus.
Yeah.
He's chugging all around the town.
Joe Biden is inappropriate.
Hey, guys. 2020. Yeah. So, okay. So then... The interesting thing then about Trump is that he won't have that effect, right? Because they've just been digging shit up about him for 4 years, and they, I guess they did it gradually, right? They didn't kind of blow their load all at once. I think with Biden, Trump's people will blow that load all at once. Biden's got some evil, evil shit, I'm sure, that they can dig up. I'm counting on it.
Are you saying there's like a grab him by the pussy tape out there with Joe Biden somewhere?
Yeah, probably, and it's probably a lot worse.
That would be
worse.
So great. God damn.
It'd probably be a lot worse. Dude. Yeah, I don't know. I guess Bernie's the guy, right, for the job.
I would say at this point, like, I don't see anybody right now in the field that could beat him. Honestly, I don't see it.
But you
what
still
do you think about like what do you think about like somebody like Beto or whatever his name
Beethoven.
Is
Beethoven. Or
Beethoven. How am I first of all, how do you pronounce it?
It's I don't
Beethoven.
Know. I
live here. It wrong.
I live here. I'm in his state and I still don't
it's
know. I think it's
Beethoven, it is Beethoven.
I thought
at this
it was
point.
Beto, but apparently it's
Beto?
Like a longer E?
Beto? Beto?
Yeah.
Beto, call him, listeners.
Just call him by his real name, which is Robert.
Listeners, let us. Yeah, Robert O'Rourke. That's right. Sounds
we'll
like,
just call him Robert O'Rourke because that's yeah. his name.
I'm actually a fan of calling him Beethoven O'Rourke, to be honest. I'm okay
like,
with that.
I always pronounce it Beto, but if it's Beto, I don't know.
Beta
anyway.
O'Rourke. That guy's weird. What is people's obsession with him now? What is that?
Well, I think he's just a media creation, a lot like Obama was, where he just comes out of nowhere, and like if enough people just start talking about it, agree to start talking about him, like I felt like that's how it was down here in Texas. Like it, nobody, if you ask anybody what the hell any of his policies were, like a lot of people will run on something like Trump was the wall. Agree or disagree, you knew what it was. You know, right. You know it. He was running on that. Some people just come out of nowhere, and you're like, I don't even like if you ask somebody in Texas where he is. What one of his policies are, I don't know if anybody could tell you. I couldn't.
Hmm.
Well, I think everybody got so hot on him because he was running against Ted Cruz.
Exactly, which is a reason
everybody
enough.
Everybody hates Ted, so
yeah, reason enough. That's fine, but I'm just saying, like I don't think he's just an entirely a media creation.
Yeah, and it was like this brief shining moment where Texas might go blue, and
right.
I mean that was a pipe dream because it's Texas, but. Yeah, Beto, I don't think he's going to have the stomach to do this. Because remember, like, after he lost to Ted, he went on his little, like, midlife crisis, finding himself while driving around Texas and making Medium blog posts.
No, oh, I don't remember
wait,
that. That's goofy
oh
as hell.
That sounds
that
like Carr. That sounds like you.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's stealing my bit. He's doing my thing.
Let me tell you what happened after Beto lost. Mm. So... obviously, he loses, and so he packs up, and I originally thought that his wife and kids were with him on this little spiritual journey.
Oh, God.
But they were not. So, dude leaves his wife and kids at home to go drive around Texas.
Probably go bang someone else's wife and kids.
What?
I don't Jesus know. Christ. He didn't put that in any of the blog posts. But he did. He like he went and he's just like driving around and going to random places and just kids. Meeting people and talking to them. And it was like it's this total self-indulgent bullshit midlife crisis thing. It was like it was so cringy.
Yeah.
And he's writing these posts on Medium and they're like they're the worst blog posts you've ever seen in your life. Like you would think they were written by a 16-year-old male.
Hmm.
So he's just out here and he's doing like weeks. Like weeks, and finally, what ended up happening was he wrote in one of the blog posts about how he was out here and he's lonely and whatever, and he calls his wife, and his wife is in the car with his kids, and she basically, not in so many words, but tells him like, "Okay, you need to get your ass back home now."
Yeah,
like I'm about sick of your shit, so. He has to cut his little midlife crisis short and go home because it was pretty clear from like the verbiage that she was sick of his shit.
Oh.
Because it was like I said, I thought when this all started, he took his wife and kids with him, but he did not.
Why
so
wouldn't
he's just
you
out
take
here wandering for weeks, left his wife and kids at home to go find himself. Like it was the most
like
bullshit
he's,
thing
like he's
ever.
28. And he just got fired for the first time, and it's like, oh, I gotta go find myself.
Like is driving around in this truck and making blog posts on the internet. Like, what the fuck are you? Like, yeah, aren't you in your 50s?
He's driving around in a hatchback.
Yeah, like I'm just like looking right into a mirror right now.
It's you, yo, Carr. It's you in a hatchback. You got the mattress laid out, right?
Yeah.
It's 5:30 in the morning. You pop the trunk so you can slide out to go take a piss, right?
Yep.
In the next to you, pissing in a tree, like next to you, it's Beto O'Rourke. He looks over at you.
I'm like, goddamn.
He's like, you finding yourself too?
We just lock eyes and just stare at each other for the duration of the piss.
You look and then at the next
day you go on the internet and you find out that he's written a blog post about you, your shared experiences pissing in the woods.
Misconnection style.
It's on the blog post. And the guy that I met, he runs a podcast, got a great intro.
Maybe I should go on it.
I should
start a podcast.
Oh, just get Beto on here and just roast him for like just dunk on him for an hour and a half and call it a day.
Yeah, he doesn't realize we're roasting him though. it's so strange, that whole thing. Who else we got? What do you think about Tulsi?
I love Tulsi's foreign policy. Like,
this is what everyone says.
Her domestic policy sucks so bad though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. She wants to take the guns, right? You're halfway to being perfect.
She wants to take the guns?
Like, you're right there.
Is that her deal? Is it guns is her deal? She wants the guns? What's the deal? Or is it all of it?
She also supports the Green New Deal, or New Green Deal, or what? Now I feel like Nancy Pelosi, because I don't even remember what the hell the damn bill's called.
The
Green Dream? I don't know.
The Green Dream.
The Green Dream.
Green New Deal.
Seriously, yeah. That was the best shade ever. Did you guys hear when Nancy was talking about the Green New Deal?
No, what did she say? What did Nancy Pelosi
say? Somebody asked her about it, and she's basically like, oh, that Green Dream Deal thing. Oh, that's cute, basically. Like,
it's so scary.
Dismissive as fuck. It was
how
so scary
just like a 360 dunk on her own goal.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, that's cute.
How scary is it that they can do that? That you can have the leader of the party go, oh, our most popular platform, that's cute. You know why that scares me? You know why that scares me? Because in the Libertarian Party, like, the Mises Caucus is, like, now a thing. It wasn't a thing not too long ago. Yeah. All the ideas of the Mises Caucus, for example, everything from crypto to gun ownership to, I mean, these are, oddly, they shouldn't be, but these are, like, radical ideas to that party. And the people who believe them really believe them strongly, really hold to them strongly. I imagine that that's what the MMT people are like. And that scares the shit out of me because the Mises Caucus's platform won't destroy the country.
We'll still be okay if the Mises Caucus somehow gets control of the
whole
country.
I know, but the enthusiasm of the MMT people in combination with them being told by the heads of the party to like sit down and shut up, basically, that's going to brew something. That's going to create a monster.
You do have a point there, but yeah, the MMT thing, all of a sudden, like, everybody's hot on this. I'm like, when did we start being nerdy?
When did we start paying attention to
this?
It's like, why not? Yeah. Why this? And, like, why is this becoming a popular thing?
I guess I'm happy that leftists are getting engaged with economics, right? Because I believe our economics are best. And so eventually they'll hopefully find the best economics, right? Yeah. But they won't.
No.
They won't.
But anyway, what was the original question?
Who knows?
Now that we've gotten completely so far off field.
Let's just keep marching forward.
Yeah, keep going. Okay. I think our listeners know at this point that if you hear a question
well,
that doesn't
never to
answer,
return. We pose a question, answer a different one, never to return.
Never go back, and that's how it always is.
I was answering a question, then we started making fun of Pelosi, and now we're talking about MMT.
Pelosi. God.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it was.
I don't either. What else do we got? Whatever. I mean, what else is a what bothers you? What's in the craw?
What's
else?
A poppin'?
It's poppin'. What's bitchin'?
It's been kind of a slow news week so far. I mean, I pretty much tried to go over everything that I went over in my last podcast. Oh, we could talk about congressional hearings.
Okay. Let's do that. You know why we should do that? Because we never ever talk about that. And I don't know what the hell is going on.
Oh my God.
There's that one guy who looks like Dilbert who's getting like charged with I don't know, some kind of felony poetry or something. What is that guy's name?
Wait, are we talking about the FBI hearings, or what are we talking about?
The congressional hearings.
What is the congressional hearings?
The Michael Cohen hearings?
Yeah.
Isn't that the FBI?
No, this happened in Congress.
Oh, sweet.
They had a congressional hearing. He's already been charged, and I believe sentenced from the last time he did a congressional hearing where he lied to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to have another congressional hearing for reasons I don't understand.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a liar. And they brought him back to explain why he lied. And in doing that, they asked him questions that he lied about. So
yeah, it's the dumbest fucking thing. And I swear to God, every time I watch a congressional hearing, I'm like, this is it. This is the last time I'm doing this.
Does anyone believe for a second that that guy's going to jail? Like, I think he's going to some mountaintop inn to live
just
in
to
for
yodel,
a month.
Yodel his days away?
Yeah. I don't get it.
I mean, he probably is going to Club Fed, but I mean, I don't know where he's sentenced to, but I think he's already been, I know he's been charged. I'm pretty sure he's been sentenced. It's very hard to keep track of who has been charged versus convicted versus sentenced in this whole Trump Russia gate thing.
And none of the sentences, none of the big findings have actually been about the thing that we've been looking for, apparently, for the past.
It's all been perjury, right?
Yeah, it's all perjury traps, the whole thing.
That, and it's the whole. To me, the only thing that I was interested in finding out in the new Cohen hearings was that BuzzFeed had put out a piece probably about a month ago now saying that they had seen proof that Trump had specifically told Cohen to lie in his congressional hearings, which if you can prove that, that's an impeachable offense because that's obstruction of justice. But Cohen point blank said that, no, Trump did not specifically tell me to lie to Congress, but he did this little like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He talks in code, and I can understand.
Whatever you do, Michael, don't lie to Congress.
It's like, he didn't tell me specifically, but he kind of codedly
told me. It would be a shame if you lied to Congress.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you said this, it would probably be a good thing.
But that would be lying, and we don't lie here at the Trump campaign.
No, we don't. I'm not telling you to lie. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. That's great. I love that perjury exists, because it's just... It's just how the Fed gets you anyway. We found out he lied about what day he met Trump. It was like, he had like 20 meetings that day. It's like, oh, fuck, get him. We got him. It's like every time they would bag up Wesley Snipes for tax evasion. It was just like he didn't pay tax on a hot dog. It's like, oh, we can get him for 30 years now.
We got him.
Team, but we got him.
Somebody just leans in and whispers, like, investigate the hot dog.
It was deep throat.
They're like about to bang the gavel innocent, and somebody just like comes in stage left, like, look at the hot dog.
Eating the dog.
Somebody runs in with like one of those manila envelopes, like, I have new evidence.
God.
I found the hot dog evidence.
So is Cohen going to jail for a long time? Is that the deal?
I don't know. Probably not.
I can't imagine, right? I can't imagine.
Because it's so hard to tell because there's the Mueller investigation going on.
Mm.
And then also Southern District of New York has their own thing going on and they've got their set of charges and they're doing their own thing. And so people are cutting deals with SDNY to testify and do this and do that. It's like, you need a flow chart to keep up with this. Like, I don't, it's so hard. Like, I cannot remember at any given time who is under indictment and who's been charged because you've got him, you've got Manafort, you've got Flynn.
This is why I said at the beginning of this podcast,
people, like, oh my God.
This is why I say at the beginning of the podcast, I was like, I can't believe that you do this as a podcast and you haven't taken your own life yet. I don't understand it. It's crazy.
Yeah, there are some plot lines that I'm just like, I can't keep up. Like, there are people who are being charged with things, and that's about all I know, because it's about all I can keep up with.
What's a plot line you had to give up, abandon? I remember we didn't even mention the name Kavanaugh until after it was long finished. Did you have one of those, or do you feel obligated to talk about what the topics are, what the big topics are?
Oh, God, I did 3 episodes on Kavanaugh.
Oh, Christ.
Like, back to back to back.
God bless.
Dude, that situation was so off the rails, insane. Like, I don't think, I can't remember anything that was that batshit crazy before.
Nuts. Like, did you cover Covington Catholic?
Yes.
God, what did you not cover? There must be something. And if there hasn't been yet, it's going to hit you one day. You're going to be like, I can't cover this. Is there anything?
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't... Like, there's some stories that I don't cover because I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think of anything, like, right off the bat. Like,
something that frustrates you so much you can't talk about it.
There's nothing that I can't talk about. Like, I'll pretty much talk about anything I want to talk about. But that being said, it has to be something that I want to talk about. Right. So there's, like, there are certain stories that other people talk about. And I'm just like, I don't care. I don't give enough of a shit to sit down and figure this out.
Mm.
But there are some stories that, like I said, I did 3 episodes on Kavanaugh. That was like 3 weeks consecutive.
Do you live off of that? Like, was the Kavanaugh thing so crazy it gave you the energy to do it?
Well, what was so wild is the day that they did the confirmation hearings, like the real first like day they did it, I was actually off work that day, so I followed it live.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the first one?
Yes.
Yeah, the first one was bad.
Like that first day when Blasey Ford testified and then Kavanaugh followed her
Yeah,
up.
You remember her, that woman that was abused and the Democratic Party held up and said, this is woman is a hero and we should support her. Where is she again? What happened?
Yeah,
there?
They basically, like, it. I don't think we ever got confirmation of actually who did it, but
yep.
I'm looking at Feinstein's office as somebody outed her, basically.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, she was outed. This wasn't her choice.
No.
So that I had a huge problem with, because, I mean, if somebody tells you something in confidence and they point blank say, please don't use my name,
yeah,
and you haul off and use their name, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then Kavanaugh's testimony that day, it was just, holy shit. Like, dude almost said fuck. I swear to God, dude almost said fuck.
He opens with hearing. Motherfuckers.
What's up, motherfuckers?
He caught himself because he was like that. I don't know if you guys remember, but his opening statement was just like this barn burner rant against everything God. That had happened to him. And at one point, he almost said, he's like, I'm so fucking tired, but he caught himself before
God.
He said fucking.
Can you imagine if he said fucking? Can you imagine what the Krasenstein brothers would be tweeting if he said fucking?
Like, he caught himself. Like, you could tell that was about to come out of his mouth. I was just like, oh my God.
Can you, they
insane.
Really would. They would go, this man is evil and violent because he said the F word. That's what they would start doing. They would take that position.
Well, everybody came at him for that anyway, because they're like, oh my God, he's so angry.
I know, right?
He can't be a judge. He doesn't have judicial temperament. I'm like,
how dare you be angry because you're being accused of a rape you believe you didn't commit, right?
And then multiple rapes on top of that, plus like a gang rape.
Yeah.
Like,
what is with these people who think that? What is with these people who think that the same people who commit gang rapes? Oh, wait a minute. I was going to say, what is it about people who think that the same people who commit gang rapes enter politics? Oh, wait.
Wait.
Maybe they have a point.
Well, you know, it's kind of the same people that get drunk and they crash their car into a lake and they just kind of leave the car and the girl in there to die, you know?
Yeah, you know, silly just stuff. Like that. Silly stuff, you know. Like that. Christ.
Those are silly things, you know?
What is, what is politics? What is it? Oh, God.
That might be the deepest question of our time. What is politics?
What is it now? What is it these days? Let's pivot off, because you have a fantastic podcast, and I want to give some credit to you, and I have a couple questions about it. First question, and I'm sorry if this is old hat. I'm sure you've explained this many times before, but just for our listeners, what got you into doing the podcast?
Well, I was originally actually doing YouTube videos.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I did YouTube videos, and I pivoted to podcasting for a couple reasons. First off, audio is just way, way easier to deal with than video.
Oh, yeah.
Just way easier. And then second off, it was kind of like this kind of thing, and you see it a lot with YouTubers nowadays, too, where sometimes, especially if you are talking about politics and you do hold certain political views, like you could wake up one morning and your channel is ghosted.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And your content's just gone. And so I decided to start podcasting for that reason, a couple other different reasons. And I just decided I liked it better than doing videos.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of go back to why I started doing videos was, at the time, I wasn't employed and I kind of needed something to fill my time.
Sure.
So I decided, like, okay, well, I'll start making videos. And then I just pivoted to podcasting, and that's where I've stayed.
Are you and your husband are both so involved in this. It's do you guys like have these conversations with one another and get fuel for what you're going to do as far as the podcast goes? Like, do you guys, I'm saying, do you guys talk about work at home?
I mean, we talk about politics amongst ourselves, but we never really bounce, like, ideas off of each other like that. Like, my podcast is my podcast, and his podcast is his podcast.
I like that.
So it's kind of like, I mean, obviously we talk about it, but it's never like, hey, do you think I should do this, or do you think I should do that, or do you think I should talk about this? We just kind of do our own thing as far as
I like that. Has he told you about the road toad?
No, but you guys tweet about it. I don't know what this is.
No need. No need.
It's just be careful out there. It's very dangerous. It's all that it is. What do you, if you could expand your podcast, whether it be adding another day or talking about a new kind of content or opening up a Patreon, what do you want to do next?
Well, I'm starting to do interviews now. I'm on other people's podcasts, obviously. I've got some stuff lined up of my own. I've got some stuff kind of in the hopper that I need to get on the schedule once I get past all the stuff that's on the schedule.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to kind of be like my next frontier is actually talking to other people instead of just talking to myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of excited about that.
Nice, nice. Who do you want to get on? Like who, if you could pick anybody, would you want to be like?
Other than us.
Or have you, you've done interviews already? You're saying?
I've done one. I've got one upcoming. I've got some that I have to schedule.
So you did one already. Who would be an optimal guest for you? Who do you think you would gel with? Who do you think would add the most? Like, who would you want to have on next?
And just removing us since we're number one.
Obviously. Yeah. I was trying to be fair here.
Yeah, right.
That's a good question. I don't know, because when I pick, like, people that I want to interview, it's because I want to talk to them about a specific thing. And I mean, I kind of try to structure my interviews a little more like loose and informal. So there is a bit of shooting the shit and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But usually I pick based on, like, I want to talk to this person about a specific thing.
Oh, okay.
So,
I see.
Like, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody that,
because the news cycle is so dead, there's nobody who you'd be like, yeah, that's who I need to talk to over this dead news cycle.
I mean, like, I guess if we were doing, like, moonshot kind of stuff, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd John love McAfee. To talk to Ron Paul.
Yeah, of course.
I probably could make that happen, but I don't know what I would specifically want to talk to him about.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
As far as other podcasters, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'd like to talk to Dave Smith one day. I'd prefer to actually be on his show than have him on mine. But mm-hmm. again, I don't really know. I don't have a topic in mind that I would, like, pitch him right now.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the great thing about starting to do interviews but already having a podcast is people know you already, right? Like, you've got enough clout where you could just DM someone and they'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, and that also comes with, like, having a Twitter following, too, and having certain people follow you on Twitter, and so you can kind of reach out to them and be like, hey, you know, you want to come on my podcast and talk about XYZ? And then they can be like, yeah, sure, that's cool, or no, not right now, or whatever.
If you ever need to just take a day off, get Scott Horton on. He'll cover it for you.
Oh, yeah. My God, yes.
He will cover that for you.
Dude, Scott seems like he would just be the easiest interview ever, because you could just
so
ask him a
easy
question. And then just, like, kick back for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't even get the question out.
He already knows what the question is.
Yeah.
he's just going. Yeah.
Welcome to the
See, I would actually like to talk to Scott too, but I want to pick a topic that he hasn't been asked to death already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would want to pick something like, I mean, everybody talks to him about like foreign policy, wars, stuff like that. Like, I want to pick something that he hasn't already done like 1,000 interviews on.
Hmm. It's interesting.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah. That would be good. See, that's the fun of doing interviews now. Now, are the interviews just going to become the podcast, or are you going to sort of just do it however you want?
I don't plan on it becoming the podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that, I still plan on doing weekly roundup, and then interviews will be like the second, like my second episode of the week, and I'll intersperse those with doing my other kinds of second podcasts where I discuss different pieces or different topics or stuff like that. But yeah, I don't plan on interviews replacing everything content wise.
Good. You keep the variety open. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Mr. Clark Campbell, you got any questions?
Man, I don't know. We've been sprinting around the track today.
Yeah. Had a productive few days with these podcasts.
Yeah, no.
It's weird that we're actually working again. This is strange.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I want to ask one thing, and I almost hate to bring it up because, like, I don't know whether I should or I specifically should not, but, like, is there any, and I've noticed that you don't really do this, right? I don't think that you do this too much, but, like, focused on women and libertarianism or anything like that?
It's something that I've been workshopping for a while for an episode of my own. It's one of those topics that, I don't know, getting into that seems, and I've heard other podcasters kind of go into this topic and talk to other people about it, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to address it from my perspective, because a lot of people seem to address it from two places that I really do not like mm-hmm. going, and that is like emotion-based arguments and identity politics, which are two things that I just fucking hate.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right.
So I'm trying to figure out like the best way to kind of address the topic, because of course, when you are a woman, you're a libertarian, the question inevitably gets posed to you as to why aren't there more of you? And mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out the best way to answer that question and to maybe start doing outreach in a way that I think would be best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a work in process.
Yeah.
That just seems like such a difficult thing, because on one hand, there aren't many women in libertarianism. I know why, because the men are boneheaded and toxic for but the other thing is like
a lot of chugging.
A
lot of chugging going on.
It's, yeah, a lot of chugging going on. Look around, fellas. Like, straighten it up a little bit.
You can chug later.
And then the other thing is like, I feel like a lot of people get pigeonholed where it's like, okay, I'm a woman in libertarianism rather than I'm a libertarian. I happen to be a woman and that offers me some unique insights, but I don't want to get pigeonholed down here.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And for what it's worth, I mean, I know a lot of people kind of bag on libertarianism on this point, but honestly, I can say that I've never had any kind of bad experiences with libertarian men. Mm. Like that's always the stereotype, is that they're a bunch of douchebags. I'm like, I've actually always had like really good positive interactions with libertarian men. Like, maybe I'm just lucky. I don't know.
I was going to say, do you ever go on? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's like I've had bad situations with libertarian men.
Don't you have a Twitter?
Here's the thing. Is that I think a lot of it too is because you go to a lot of like live conferences, or I don't know how many, but you do present yourself live at these things too, right?
It's different, right?
Yeah, I went to I went to Liberty Forum this year, and that was actually the first thing that I've ever been to where I was like a real IRL person there, and that was a lot of fun,
dude. Because libertarians in person are often really cool and awesome. A lot of the times, the internet just makes it so toxic, and that's something that I wanted to bring
it's
up.
It's because some of them on the internet are feds.
Yeah, well, maybe that could be it. But like, there's something weird that happens with the internet where, like, there's people that I agree with on 20% of the politics that would just be the enemy on the internet, but they're my good friend, and we can be good friends. But I had just encountered them on the internet, or if some of these, you know, other libertarians had encountered them on the internet, then it's just like all out war. But he's a good guy, you know. And so I don't know. It's just like getting yourself out in front as a person removes some of that weird shit, like that internet voodoo that just allows people to be toxic boneheads.
I don't know, man, because on Twitter, I always cherish this one group chat that I have in particular, which is not, you know, one of the ones we share, Carr, but it's a group chat that somebody had made, and it has somebody who I would describe as a neoconservative in there. It's got somebody who I would describe as a communist in there. It's got neoliberals in there. It's got more ANCAPs in there, libertarians in there, and we get along really well. Despite the arguing that happens all the time. Yeah, I don't know what it is specifically about the out in the open stuff, right? I guess it's chest beating, a lot of it.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe. Yeah.
A lot of display. I think it's
when
display.
You're on, especially on Twitter, when you're talking to somebody and you don't know them and you don't have like an actual relationship with them or any kind of friendship with them.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier to be a dickhead towards someone.
For sure. For sure.
Right.
And it's different when you're actually like in a private chat or you're face to face and you like actually know these people and you're like, oh, okay, like I'm not gonna be an asshole to this person.
That's why everybody should go to Childerberg. 2020, baby. Oh wait, no, 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, 2019, man.
2020 is gonna be a whole different kind of Childerberg.
that reminds me. I made an announcement for our meetup, our DFW Fagcast meetup, on Mark's episode, and I said it's tomorrow, and so it's actually tomorrow for this episode. And I hope nobody shows up at that brewery next Thursday.
Well, you know what? We'll clear it up. We'll clear it up. Oh God! All right.
By the way, don't go to this. If you're hearing this on this episode, don't go.
If you heard it
on the other car here, why don't you do this, Car? Because we haven't decided fully which one will go up yet. Because the episode we did with Mark has some audio issues. I want to clear up this one. I may just put out first. Give the actual date.
It is March 7th, and we're just doing it the first Thursday of every month. And I think we're going to try and keep it at Turning Point Brewery in, I think, Bedford.
Okay. So listeners, if this episode comes out on the day before the 7th, that would be the 6th, then you know to go.
Go on.
I'll make sure to scrub that from the episode that comes out after. Or maybe I don't.
If you're hearing this after March 6th, don't go.
It would be kind of funny if I didn't. And there are just people there. What would be the worst that would happen? Somebody would be like, hey, Carr, where are you? And you'd be like, oh, I'm coming.
Yeah, you're probably, honestly, that's probably accurate.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what? Minutes. That was last week, but I could go for a beer.
Yeah, you trying to drink a beer? Talk about liberty? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, whatever. A couple Childeberg lights coming up. I'm looking forward to the real Childeberg, though. I won't be warming there. I'm there in spirit. It'll be good.
We'll FaceTime you for 48 hours.
Sure. All right. Well, that's great, man. I this was a perfect episode for me. Jen, plugs everywhere. Give us your plugs.
Okay. My podcast, Jen the Libertarian. You can find me on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and YouTube.
Whoa.
You can find me on Twitter at Jen Monroe or at Jennifer M_Q. And those are the two best places to find me, especially on Twitter. You can normally find me there because I'm always there. And
you honestly, are always there. You are always on Twitter.
I am omnipresent. If I am not on there, then I'm probably asleep or I might be dead if I'm gone for too long. Do a wellness check.
Yeah.
Like try to get with my husband, make sure I'm still alive, make sure that there's no announcements that need to go out. But yeah. And obviously, listen to my podcast because I make one and I think it's cool. And I think you will think it's cool too.
We think it's cool. We think it's cool. Yep. We like it.
It's a great podcast. And I think our listeners would love it. So can't imagine we have too many that don't also listen to that. But in case we do,
get on over there. Listeners, you fags, get on that.
Yeah. We got anything else, Bird?
I think we're good.
All right. Yep. Well, until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.
Yeah.